at the turn of the 20th century, during one of his presidential campaigns, a delegation came to the home of Theodore Roosevelt in Oyster Bay, Long Island. The president met them with his coat off and his sleeves rolled up. He said, "Gentlemen, come down to the barn and we'll talk while I do some work." And at the barn, Roosevelt picked up a pitchfork and he looked around for some hay. Then he called out to one of his workers, "John, where's all the hay?" And John replied, "I'm sorry, sir, I just haven't had time to toss it back down after you pitched it up while the people from Iowa were here." Now that is a classic example of hypocrisy. Most of us have probably heard the definition of what a hypocrite is. We've heard how it originated from the Greek word that describes how an actor pretending to be something that he's not, how this actor assumes the personality of a scripted character and pretends to be that character on stage. Often because the number of actors were limited, many would put on different masks in order to play different roles, even the roles of women in these plays. These masks were so that the audience couldn't see their real face. This word play for play acting and for pretending to be someone you're not, or even the act of wearing a mask, like most words, became used in day-to-day speech to describe someone who acted like someone that they were not. This morning we're going to begin our study of the 6th chapter of Matthew's Gospel. In these first 18 verses of this chapter, Jesus is going to address three areas that are very important to the lives of His original Jewish audience. And they should be equally important to us as well. Jesus is going to address our giving. And then He's going to address our praying. And then later, He's going to address our fasting. Jesus in this chapter is going to warn us to not be hypocrites, to not pretend that we are something that we're not in these areas. My prayer this morning is, as I preach God's word, that He will use that word as a means of grace, as a means of uniting the word that is being preached to the spirit that is indwelling your hearts. And that at the same time, at the same moment, you will both be convicted of your sin and you will be edified in your faith. So this morning, hear the word of God as it is read from the 6th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, verses 1 through 4. "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." May God bless the reading and the hearing of His holy word. This morning, time will not allow us to speak of all three areas, so we're only going to open the area this morning of giving. But I want you to notice something that Jesus does as He begins this entire portion of Scripture. As He kicks off these 18 verses to address these three areas, He says this in the first verse: "Beware of practicing your righteousness." Now the NIV more fully translates this as "your acts of righteousness." Because what Jesus is teaching here is that the three areas that He's getting ready to address, your giving and your praying and your fasting, these three areas are not just things that you do. They're not just good works. These three areas are actually duties for those who are of his kingdom. These are acts of his kingdom. In other words, what Jesus is saying here is this: don't make public displays of your religion in order to attract attention from other people. Now you may think, Jesus just told us in chapter 5 to let our light shine before others. And now he's telling us not to practice our religion in order to gain the attention of other people. So which is it? What's Jesus telling us here? Notice who he says that your light should be shined upon. He says you are to do your good works so that people will give God your Father the glory. Not you. And now look at what he says in verse 1 of chapter 6. He says, beware of practicing your acts of righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. The Greek word, therefore, being seen, is the same word that we get our English word theater from. When you do these acts of righteousness, when you practice your religious duties, the things that you're supposed to do, do not do them in such a way that you put on a show. And in putting on a show, you bring attention to yourself and not God the Father. Observe what Jesus says will be the result of such actions. Why would someone want to be seen for performing religious duties? To gain the praise of other people. To have our egos stroked. To get that good feeling when someone says, wow, he's got it all together. Or, she is so godly. Jesus says the result of doing such things, such religious things, in order to be seen by others, in order to receive praise and honor from others, if that is your motivation, if that is the reward that you're seeking, the praise of others, then it better be enough reward, because you will not receive a reward from your Father who is in heaven. Search your hearts this morning. Why do you do the things that you do? What are your motives? Why do you serve in the capacities in which you serve? Let the Word of God convict you if you struggle with the sins of hypocrisy. But understand this morning that Jesus did not speak and teach these words to discourage you from service. On the contrary, Jesus wants your service. But he wants your service to bring the most glory to the Father that you as adopted children can possibly bring. Yet Jesus is fully aware that there is this fine line between true obedience and that which brings God glory and the warning that he's about to give. There's a fine line between doing your duty and seeking praise. He knows that. That's why he's giving the warning. He knows your hearts. That's why he says, beware. Be careful. Take heed. He doesn't want you to fall prey to your flesh, because our flesh loves to place itself in a position where it can receive praise. The first example that Jesus uses to emphasize this truth about our flesh is our duty to giving money to the poor. He says in verse 2, thus, or so then, when you give money to the poor. Now notice, he doesn't say, if you give money to the poor. Jesus assumes that those of his kingdom will give. That's why he's not telling us here to give. He assumes that giving will be done. Because charitable giving has been established as a religious duty since Moses recorded it as far back as Deuteronomy chapter 15. However, it is possible for a person to display outward motions of charitable giving without having a truly charitable heart. When hypocrites give, Jesus says they do it in ways that will ensure people will pay attention. He says that they will give their money to the needy with the sound of trumpets. He says, be sure and beware that you don't do the same thing. That with trumpets, the hypocrites give their money in the synagogues and in the streets so that they may be praised by others. Now, historically speaking, there are no Jewish records of anyone, even the Pharisees, blowing trumpets as they gave their money to the synagogues. There's even no reference of blowing trumpets to announce the time of collection in the temple. However, there are Jewish sources that tell of this large copper collection basin that looked like a large funnel on the top, and it tapered down until it got to the collection vessel itself, and it looked like a trumpet. These long skinny necks prevented unscrupulous people with sticky fingers from stealing the offering. To give you the image, have you ever seen those things that charities put in the front of like Walmart or places like that? The kids go up and they put a quarter and the thing goes around and around and it gets faster until it goes in, and the more pennies you put in, or quarters if you're rich, the more coins you put in, they might go in different directions, the more noise they make. That's the idea of what's going on here. That's the image that I'm describing here. Quite possibly the image is being portrayed that the hypocrites, these people who are pretending to be something they're not, they're pretending to be charitable. They're coming in, and in order to be seen by others giving their money, they're coming into the temple and they're taking their fistful of coins and they're throwing them into this trumpet-shaped vessel by the fistfuls, and throwing them into these collection basins with such a thunderous noise, their donations are sure to be seen by all. These same people who pretended to be charitable in the temple would just as likely go out into the streets, and instead of simply slipping someone a $20 bill, they made their giving known by blowing their own horns, by letting everyone know how charitable they are. But Jesus says they do this because they're hypocrites. They have to put on this mask for the sake of putting on a show. They are hypocrites because they present themselves as being spiritual and generous, as people who sincerely desire God's approval and people's welfare. But in reality, they're not looking to please God at all. And they're really not interested in helping the poor. They're only interested in themselves. They're only interested in receiving the praise of others. Their giving is calculated to impress others and establish a reputation. That is why they're trying to draw attention to themselves when they give. In essence, they are merely trying to purchase with their money other people's approval. And Jesus says they're going to get what they pay for, because truly I say to you, they have received their reward. If that's what they're after, that's what they're going to get, and that's where it stops. Now maybe you don't do that with your donations. Maybe you don't do that with the giving of your money. In fact, most Presbyterians I know usually are very quiet about their money and about what they give and about to whom they give it. But the principles that are being taught here today are directed at your hearts as well. I want you to look at this next statement. Doesn't Jesus' next statement sound a little odd? In verse 3 and part of verse 4, he says, "But when you give to the needy, Do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving is done in secret. Jesus says the way to avoid hypocrisy is not to stop giving, but to do so with secrecy, with such secrecy that we're scarcely aware of how much we're giving ourselves. Now, how can you keep a secret from yourself? Better yet, why would you keep a secret from yourself? Not only does Jesus want us to not fall prey to our flesh, but the desires that Jesus wants us to recognize is that we have the desires to be praised by others. But there's also this hidden desire of our flesh, that even though we don't recognize the praise of others, we do something else. We are especially susceptible to falling prey to the traps of the devil. Did you know that the enemy sees the things that you do, and that if he can't stop you from doing them, then he's going to use them to lure and entice you to sin because of them? Now let me repeat that. The devil, if he can't stop you from doing your religious duties, like giving, then he will actually use the good things that you do to lure you and entice you to sin because of them. Now let me further explain that. He's standing there as you put that neatly folded check in that offering plate. And he whispers to your flesh ever so gently, "Great job. That was a lot of hard-earned money. That should make God happy. That should clear up that little sin issue you had last Friday." You see, Jesus is saying that there are actually two types of hypocrites. There's the first kind that gives because they want to be praised by other people. And then there's the other kind that some of you may be feeling conviction over this morning. Some people have a tendency of self-praise. When they do things that the Lord has called us to do, they pat themselves on the back and they say, "Attaboy." Well, Jesus says, when you give, do it in such a way that your left hand doesn't know what your right hand is doing. As I thought about this week, I like to think about it in this way. If your left hand doesn't know that your right hand is empty, it can't clap. It can't applaud yourself for the goodness that you're doing. Give and don't give it another minute's thought. Don't constantly dwell on your giving. Or the same thing that is true for the hypocrite that seeks the praise of others will be true for the hypocrite that seeks his own praise. They both have made a bad bargain. They have settled for earthly rewards instead of heavenly rewards. Now, by heavenly ones, don't misunderstand me to say that the truly good things you do here on earth will only be rewarded in heaven. But heavenly reward, by that I mean from heaven. This last phrase of verse 4 points out that when you give in secret, when you give in such a way that your left hand doesn't know what your right hand is doing, when you give and you don't give another minute's thought about it, then the Father, your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you. These rewards spoken of are for the believer right now. Now, before you think your pastor's gone and jumped into the deadly waters of some prosperity gospel that turns this offering plate into some kind of slot machine, understand that the reward that your Father will give you is right now. But understand, the key phrase there is your Father. The word Father is repeated 10 different times in these 18 verses that addresses your giving and your prayer life and your fasting. When you're reading Scripture, I want you to start looking for things like this. I call this Scripture's highlighters. There's something going on here. Matthew intentionally uses the term Father 10 times in 18 verses. This book, who most acknowledges the most Jewish of the four Gospels, uses the term Father 10 times in 18 verses. You can search the Old Testament Scriptures and you will never find one reference to God as Father. Not one. This concept of God being your Father was established in redemptive history by Jesus Christ Himself. And it points to the fact that those of His kingdom are part of His kingdom because they've been adopted as children by Him and made joint heirs. Adoption is an act of God's free grace in and for His only Son, Jesus Christ, whereby those that are justified are received into the number of His children and have His name put upon them and the Spirit of His Son given to them and are under His fatherly care and dispensations, admitted to all the liberties and privileges of the sons of God, made heirs of all the promises and fellow heirs with Christ in glory. This is what the Pharisees lacked. They didn't see God as their heavenly Father. They didn't have the intimate relationship with God that is only possible through faith in Jesus Christ. And because they didn't know God as their Father, they thought that they could manipulate God the same way they were manipulating people. Hypocrites think that they can put on a show. If they can put on a mask and pretend to be something that they're not, if it works on people, and if it even works on ourselves sometimes, surely it'll work on God. But God is not like us, in that we can't see people's motivations. We can't see why people do the things they do, nor should we. We can't even recognize the sinfulness of our own hearts. You may be able to fool those around you. You may even be able to fool yourself, but you cannot fool the Father who sees in secret, who sees down to your very soul, who sees your very inclinations, the desires of your heart. And Jesus says that if you give to the needy without privately congratulating yourself, if you give in such a way that your left hand doesn't know what your right hand is doing, then your Father who sees in secret will reward you. What do these rewards look like for those who are adopted as children of God? Well, the reward is not tenfold return on your investment. Reward is clearly not recognition that you think you may deserve for your faithfulness. The reward is a genuine love that is satisfied when you see a true need relieved, when the hungry are fed, and when the naked are clothed, and when those who need medical help receive it, and most of all, when those who are lost are saved. The reward is a love that is satisfied to know that your Father, who loves you and cares for you better than you can care for yourself, will take the gift that you are offering and He will use it for His glory. Such love does not even need to see the needs relieved to be satisfied. Such love doesn't need the applause of men or the acknowledgement of self. Such love only needs to know that an obedient heart comes as a result of God's grace and mercy. May God give you this kind of love. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come before You once again as sinners redeemed by grace. Heavenly Father, we, as Your children, adopted into Your families and into Your family, and as we experience the grace and the mercy that You have afforded us, we are aware that the sin that indwells us still tempts us to seek praise from other people. It tempts us at times to even seek our own praise, to think that we've done a good job, to seek the glory that is due to you. We pray, Heavenly Father, first of all, that you forgive us for that attitude. We pray, Heavenly Father, that as hard as it is, let us let go of our pride and our desire to receive praise, and help us to point everything to you. It is inevitable, Heavenly Father, that we're going to give, because that is our duty. Help us to give in such a way that we will not be like the hypocrites who sound trumpets both in the church and in the streets for how good we are and the things we do. Convict us of our sins, for when we look at what our right hand is doing and our left hand sees the good job it's doing, and so we clap and applaud ourselves. Forgive us, Heavenly Father, for not trusting you enough to be our Father and supply for our needs. Let us have this love that is satisfied in knowing that we are giving back to a God and a Father who is capable of meeting needs and using our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings as those means to receive and bless the needy. We pray for those hearts that aren't hypocritical, Heavenly Father, hearts that don't pretend to be something we're not. Help us to truly have charitable hearts that give freely, and to give abundantly, and to give gratefully, and to never dwell on what we do give. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.